You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush and Ben Taylor.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Hope day. We're back again. It's Kyle and Ben, and it's the Dad Bod Golf Pod, episode 261.
Did you start to call me Bub? Is that what you started to call me?
No, I got all tongue-tied. I have a pretty specific order that I go in, and I went in completely opposite order. I didn't get anything in order. So, yeah, but we're about to have some fun. We're about to talk some cheating, possible cheating infractions, some golf winners, and then we have a spectacular would you rather at the end. And Ben's looking for ghosts as we speak. You could bet, probably find a line. Will Ben look for ghosts at Bet Online, the number one sports betting website in the country? Probably not, but you know, there may be a line. Will Patrick Reed be accused of cheating this next tournament as a prop bet? It could be. It seems like it's every tournament he's in. Use coupon code Believe, BLEAV. Get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Give him $100 deposit. They're going to give you 50 back on top of it to play with. Have some fun. Basketball every single day. Super Bowl's coming up. You get to bet on the over under on the national anthem length, the coin toss, the Gatorade color, all those prop bets that we love every single year. Will somebody cry? Which commercial will win? It's going to be Doritos or something like that. It always is.
It's going to be Doritos or Budweiser. It's
always Doritos one of those or two. Budweiser every single time. But anyway, have some fun. Bet online. It's where the game starts. Okay,
what
Ben,
were the odds, before we get into it, what were the odds that you were going to be able to retrieve your wedge that you left on the course? What do you think those betting odds were? Because I thought they were slim and none.
For some reason, I was having like this flashback that I threw it in the water. I don't know why. I was like thinking.
Well, I knew that didn't happen. I was sober enough. I knew that didn't happen.
I was thinking that I threw it in the water on 17 for some reason.
Throw it a few times.
Yeah. It needed a good rough talking is what it needed. Every club in your bag sometimes can act up, and you got to rough talk them and get it back in line. And I had to do that. It was tough.
Kyle,
and sometimes it's embarrassing.
It's like rough talking the whole back nine.
It's like whooping your kid in public. It's you got to do it sometimes. It's embarrassing, but sometimes you got to do it for the betterment of the family. So anyway. Yeah. So this tournament this weekend.
Bob, this is for the family.
This is for the family. Wedge, take it into that tree. One time I'm actually proud it came down out of the tree. I held on. You know when you hold on to it too long and it goes vertical? Yeah. Yeah. But anyway. All right, I digress. I don't want to get into that. What was the name of this tournament over in the Middle East? Last week,
Dubai something
Desert Classic, Dubai Desert
yeah,
Classic,
Dubai Desert Classic, all right, the DDC,
yeah, the Hero Dubai Desert yes. Classic. All right, so when y'all are listening, it's weird that we said there was a weather delay. They ended up finishing on a Monday in the middle of the like early morning. Rory ended up winning. He did. We said he had a 3 or 4 shot lead. He was playing really good. He ended up winning by one shot. When he stepped on to the 17th tee, he was down one shot to Patrick Reed. He had to go birdie to beat him, and he did it. And that's very impressive. Even though 18 is a par 5 that pretty much everybody birdies, but still,
he almost 17. Hit it in the water on 18.
He did. He almost powered it. He was juiced, almost powered it through the fairway. It's kind of a dog leg left. If you go too far, it's 335 to the water, and he was right there on the edge. So. Yep. He laid up, right, and then he had to flip a wedge up there and make a putt. Is that?
Yes, he had to.
There's no way
he
could go for it.
And even his wedge was still like 14 feet. Like, he didn't hit it close. He had to make a bomb. It was like a 14, 15 foot putt.
That's one thing, man. Rory's starting. If the putter gets going, he's hard to beat. But yeah, so Rory ends up winning. Good for him.
Until he hits those Bermuda greens. I just don't think he can do Bermuda greens.
I wonder what kind of grass they grow over there. What kind of grass that is in the Middle East. It's got to be very heat resistant and sun resistant.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's yeah, so Rory wins. That's like the low light of the that's like not low light. That's like the
Nobody's been talking about the win at all.
Nobody's even really talking about it. He's still number one in the world. You know, whatever. Everybody's talking about this Patrick Reed deal. So in the third round, we semi talked about it and we got it way wrong, apparently. But still, we're going to break it all the way down. So if you missed it, it's maybe the opening tee shot. I don't know. It was the third round. He hits his ball in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's the desert. There's not many trees on this course. And there was like this, the right side of this fairway had two separate bundles of three trees. And they're mm-hmm. tall. They're like tall trees. There's nothing on them except when you get to the top, it's like freaking Velcro net. It's crazy. Yeah. It's some type of palm, super mm-hmm. tall. And apparently the balls go in them all the time. I didn't realize that, but apparently balls go in them all the time. So Patrick Reed hits his ball in a tree. You don't know it. We don't know this, but as he's going up there, there's a fan that says, "Hey, your ball's stuck in this tree." And he points to a specific tree. And Patrick Reed looks up in the tree and says, "Yep, there's a ball right there. Let me make sure I can positively identify it," because the rule is on a ball that's, you know, unplayable, you have to positively 100% identify it to take a unplayable. Correct, Ben? Am I wrong? So that
yes,
means
no, you're right. Like even if it's even like the other day I hit one in the water on three.
Yeah.
And like I play an ABX and Kyle was like, "Oh, there it is." And I was like, "Yep, sure is. Pretty well." I mean, there were like four in the water, but that was mine. And so yeah. I'm not going down in the water and getting it, taking an unplayable and just playing right outside.
Or dropping. Or yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it's not a lost ball because we found it. You don't have to go back to the tee.
Right.
So he says, "There's a ball up there. Let's call an official. Let's get some binoculars. Let's look up in there." He looks up in there and he says, "Yep, that's mine. I can see the marking that I do." He does. He extends the arrow because the putting arrow is too short or something like that. Mm-hmm. So he extends the arrow. And I believe he said there's a number. It was a number too that he said nobody plays these numbers or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But regardless, I'm going to read this. Two officials
mm-hmm.
looked up in the tree. And based off his, based off his deal, they agreed. Two marshals, an official, and let's see who it said. It said, oh goodness, I'm trying to find it. It says the DP Tour released a statement confirming mm-hmm. the ruling. According to the tour, two on-course referees and several marshals identified the tree that Reed hit his ball into. Okay. So like Reed didn't pick the tree. People were telling him that's the tree your ball went into. And he looks up and he says, "There's a ball in the tree that you guys told me this tree is in." If you can tell, you can obviously tell what side I'm on the way I'm telling this story. He looks up in the tree and he's like, "Wow, it has some of the markings." He takes a free drop. Okay. Have I missed anything, Ben? Not a free drop.
Nope.
He takes a drop penalty.
It's just a one-stroke penalty.
One-stroke penalty.
That's all it is, yeah.
Okay. Have I missed anything so far?
No.
Okay. The next day, Brandel Chamblee puts out a video that shows that actually, you know how I told you, there's like two different sets of three trees, okay? There's three trees further up the fairway, and then there's three trees where Patrick Reed's ball disappeared into. So the replay, when you slow it down, actually shows that his ball went into a different tree. If you numbered them in order, 1, 2, 3, Patrick Reed thought his ball went in tree 3. It actually went in tree 1. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that means that.
No, you misspoke there. Patrick Reed didn't know which tree it went in. They told him what tree it was in.
Correct. Okay. So based off that, that means Patrick Reed did not, in fact, fully 100%. According to the people that are arguing, he did not 100% identify his ball. Therefore, he cheated. He should have gone back to the tee, which by rule, if you cannot 100% identify your ball, you do go back to the tee. And that you're hitting your third from there instead of the drop. So, Ben, how do you want to do this?
I've changed my stance a little bit.
Okay.
Because of the video.
All right, you started.
I didn't you know, I said before, I hated the fact that Brandon Chamblee and all of golf media had me defending Patrick Reed, which really pissed me off. And now they've got me defending Brandon Chamblee a little bit, which also pisses me off. So these are like the two worst guys that I actually can't stand is Chamblee in the booth or at the counter and Patrick Reed. And I get Chamblee's got some, like my old roommate absolutely loves him. So he's just a guy that just rubs me the wrong way.
I think his live takes are scream of female genitalia, but other than that, I like him for the most part. He does cool interviews. He's very candid. He's very knowledgeable. So I like that about him, but this one rubbed me the wrong way. But anyway, keep going.
He loves to point out wrongs, though. He loves to point out wrongs. And so he starts showing the video. And at that point in time, the one key thing that you said there is the fact that Patrick Reed said he was 100% sure that was his ball. Well, clearly that's a lie. Because clearly when you watch the video, he's not 100% sure that that's his ball because he's not even looking in the right tree. So he's not 100% sure that's his ball because it can't be his ball because his ball didn't land in that tree.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Let me stop you for a second. Okay, Vim. Have you ever been asked how many years you've been married in your whole life? Has anybody asked, hey, how many years have you been married?
Yes.
Have you ever gotten it wrong but thought you were right? Like maybe you're off by a year.
Yeah, possibly. Okay, yes.
Were you lying? Or did you believe?
No, because you're asking me to make the same thing where that would be something where, like, we have our marriage certificate that's framed in our house hanging up. If you were asking me to look at that certificate and say, is that your marriage certificate? Is that the year? Yes, because there's right. Like, when he took the binoculars, he should have seen that that was his ball. And clearly it was not his ball.
So it was one
that looked similar. That would be like me looking at three marriage certificates and not being sure and going, yeah, I think it's that one.
The point is, can you look at something? Can you think that you're right and be wrong and that not be a lie? Do you think there's a chance? Now, I know Patrick Reed does not get the benefit of the doubt because of his past, but do you think there is a chance? Number one, we're talking about a ball in a 30-foot tree in the air. Okay, so already you're going to be, in your mind, you're going to be biased, okay? Mm-hmm. Thinking, that's got to be my ball. Okay, so for Brandel's point to be fair, you have to assume that Patrick Reed looked up in the tree and consciously knew that that wasn't his ball. Even though everybody pointed to the tree. I mean, basically, everybody else has sold him that this is his ball. Your ball went in this tree, and you look up, and there's a damn ball. Is it possible that Patrick Reed looked up and saw a ball and 100% believed it was ball? And now he probably wanted to believe it more than anything, but is there a chance? Like, the part that I'm struggling so much with is – there's so many times in my life where I've believed I was right. Mm. I believed something was right, and I just ended up being wrong. But that doesn't mean I lied. But I lied about it. I believed a fact was true, or I said something that I believed was true, and then it ended up not being true. That doesn't mean I was lying. It just means I was wrong, right?
Well, that happened in this instance, because I can't find it anywhere else. You know, the first official had said he asked Patrick Reed, how do you mark your ball? And he looked and he said, I think that's it. And then gave him the binoculars. I totally bought that as being the truth. I have not seen, I've scoured the internet the last couple of days
to try to find his actual ball markings.
Yeah. To see if that's true, if he said that or not. That was what one of the reporters had said on the broadcast. They said that he asked Patrick Reed first, hey, how do you mark your ball? Do you remember what number you're hitting? Blah, blah, blah. And he gave him the answer. And then the marshal looked first.
Yeah.
And then he gave the binoculars to or the PGA Tour official or whatever he is and gave them to Patrick Reed and said, I think that may be it. Can you verify? And then that's when Patrick said yes. Now, I have not seen anything said in writing since then that that's what took place. Yeah. So I don't know if that happened or not, but the reporter at the time, because I was like, I watched it. I watched one of the replays on Golf Channel. The reporter on television at the time said that. So, yeah. However, as I said, that has now that could be them omitting that information because that would side with Patrick Reed. I will say,
and I would think it would go the opposite way. I think they would make sure to do everything they can to paint him in a negative light. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, it happened to the wrong guy. I told a guy at work that today. I said, all right, let me ask you this. Let's switch roles. If that's Rory that hits his ball in that tree and he picks the wrong tree, is this a big deal at all? Does anybody say anything?
I'm so glad you mentioned that. I'm so glad you mentioned that. Okay. So, because Rory has hit his ball into a tree before. Okay. And this is another thing. Rory hit his ball into the tree at number 3 on Kiawah Island in the PGA Championship that he won. Okay. They could not find it and they did not know it was in the tree. Replay like called them down and said, hey, his ball's in the tree. And now it was not a tall tree. It was one that you could kind of reach up and he actually got his ball. But like that was something that was
he doesn't
find his ball unless the TV cameras like they don't tell him. And like we had TV cameras everywhere out there. Yeah. So like I guess you got to argue. You can't argue this. You got to argue this separately to me. You can't, because people are trying to take the video and argue hindsight on top of what was happening live. And to me, that is incredibly dishonest, A, and unfair. Because, like we said, Patrick Reed, and he even says it, I was not asked to pick out a tree. I was asked to pick out a ball because they pointed me to the tree. They pointed him to the tree. They said, it's in this tree. He looked up. He found a ball. And again, you're probably have bias thinking that's got to be my ball because I've done that before. When you take the video evidence, we know the ball was in one of the trees. We know for a fact it was not a lost ball. You cannot argue lost. To me, at that point, you can't argue lost ball anymore because we know the ball. Right. Now, we can play this. We can play the semantics game and the letter of the rule, whatever. At some point in time, you've got to use common sense. We got video evidence there. We know the ball was somewhere, was in that 10-foot range between those trees. He didn't gain an advantage from it. He did not gain really any advantage from it whatsoever, unless you want to argue he should have gone back and reteed. And in that case, you have to say that he knowingly knew that ball was not his. And I don't think we can honestly say that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, that does make sense. I did agree with you because you'd gone back and forth on Twitter with some folks, and you're right. The key thing is in all this, and I know that some of the the guys like Grace and stuff that listen to this thing, they're going to rip me a new one because they're going to be like, you need to be following the rules. The rules are the rules. You should have followed the rules. But we all knew the ball was in a tree. Yes. He didn't lose it. He didn't hit it OB. He didn't hit it where a marshal couldn't find it. Like, he didn't lose it. We all knew where the ball went. And so at that point, I mean, it's like, yeah, my ball's in the tree. Well, can you identify it? Well, shit, I don't know. It's 30 feet up. Like, what if that marshal doesn't have binoculars? Do they let him take the drop? Because they it went in a tree.
Probably not, I guess. I mean, you couldn't, because you can't 100% identify it. I mean that's why you see Sergio Garcia having to climb up in a dang oak tree to find his ball. You see all these dudes, if they want to identify their ball in a tree, they have to climb up in the tree and find out. They just happen to have binoculars there. They point out, hey, we see a ball up there. It went in this tree. He looks up and he's like, well, I'll be damned. There's my markings or similar markings. I mean, then you're like, but it's gotta be mine. Yeah. That's got to be mine. Because who else, how many other people are going to have balls in the tree? You know what I mean? It's just,
I was absolutely shocked when they showed like the aerial view of how many balls were in that tree or in all three of those trees.
Oh yeah, they're full of. They're actually they're totally full of them. They're completely full of them. So that's another thing. Like, he picked out, like, there were several different balls that he could have chosen from.
They said that there were six near his, near the one he identified. There was his and six others.
So, I mean, I guess he could have picked any. He could have picked any of those balls.
Yeah,
and said, do we really think he looked up in the tree with the binoculars and found the one that looked the closest to the ball that he? I mean, I don't know. I don't know too.
I will say this. I never saw where he said he could read his number. It was the marking that he saw. I haven't seen how he marks it. When he says extend the line, is he just basically drawing a straight line over that line on the Pro V?
I didn't understand it either. I didn't really understand.
He said extend the Aris. I think he just extends the line. So there's a lot of people that do that.
Let me read it. He says, I got lucky. We were able to look through binoculars. You have to make sure it's your ball. How I mark my golf balls is I always put an arrow on the end of my line. Because on the Pro V1, the arrow on the end stops before it, so you can see the arrow. I don't know.
I'm looking at.
You could definitely see and identify the line with the arrow on the end. So he draws an arrow on his ball, I guess.
I don't know. The way he said that, though, I don't know if that means he extends, you know, just it's a straight line. He extends it because he said the arrow's not long enough. So I don't know if he meant extend it. Like, you know, I Google imaged it, and they're not showing any pictures of how he marks his ball. So, you know, with Tiger, it's pretty easy. He's got Tiger written on the side of his.
But now I just found a
Rory's
picture.
Rory's got Roars written on the side of his.
I just found a picture. Here are two very close look per the Wizards of Reed's on marking or on Patrick's golf ball that allowed him to identify the ball on the tree. Spot the black arrow that Reed talked about in his post round presser. Both images are from today. So I'm looking at the picture and there's the line. He extends the line, and then he says he draws a little arrow on the end. And it's hard. It's hard to say. It's hard to make out in this picture. But
okay,
I guess it sufficed. It was enough for this guy to believe that that's what it was. I don't know. But correct. Reed identified the ball on the tree. The DP. Yeah, correct. Reed identified the ball on the tree. The DP World Tour's chief referee agreed that the ball matched Reed's description. And allowed Reed to take an unplayable. Yeah. I mean.
Here's the thing that, you know, there have been people that have commented and have chimed in on this. One of which is another podcast that we talk about, which is just dumb, in my opinion, how they did it. Here's the thing. They keep leaning on Reed. And I understand at the end of the day, he's the pro. He's the one involved in it. He got cleared by two guys on the grounds there and cleared by another official in the tent back
at the marshals.
The
two marshals pointed him to the tree. And he talked through it with the official. The official said, yes, I see the markings you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the markings you're talking about, I'm looking through these binoculars. I'm seeing exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
So, what do we do? What do we do? Again, you have to say this. If you say
he should have gone back to the tee, what you're saying is that you know for a fact that Reed – knew for a fact that was not his ball. And Reed did not have video evidence from the next day that Brandel Chamblee has showing his ball was in a different tree. Okay. He did not have that. All he had to go off of was two people and fans telling him it was in a specific tree. He grabbed some binoculars, looked up, and saw a ball that confirmed what he thought, what these other people were telling him, that was his ball. I mean, I don't know how else we can discuss it. Like, how else can you go from here? You can't go retroactively call penalties on yourself anymore.
Nope.
They can't. They did away with that with the people calling in penalties on TV. Can't do that anymore. At the end of a round or a certain time after the round or whatever, it's done. It's over. You don't go back and change it. So There's nothing you can do there. There's nothing Patrick Reed couldn't have seen the video and then taken a penalty on himself mm-hmm. in the next round, if I understand that rule correctly. So, again, what do you have to say? And you know what? Maybe you can make this claim. You have to say that you think you not you think you know Patrick Reed looked up in that tree with the binoculars, knew that was not his ball. In the tree that everybody pointed him to that looked like his ball. He knew for a fact that was not his ball, and he lied so that he could get a free drop. That's what you have to assume. And I mean, you know, maybe with his pass, you can roll that. I know under the circumstances that it would be hard when you're pointed in a direction and you're biased and already because of people pointing you in a direction, you look up and you see a ball that's similar to yours that you may not really truly 100% believe that that's yours. And that's not a lie, in my opinion.
Yeah. I get it. I just wish he hadn't said that's 100% mine. But then I guess if you don't say that, they make you
got to go retee. Yeah. You got to go retee.
I guess now they've got to define in the rule books, they've got to say, all right, do you know that it's 100% yours or do you believe 100% that it's yours?
Or no, you know what you say? You got to, I mean, if the rules, you got to put your hands on it or something. I mean, you got to be able to identify it. You touched on it. Let's circle back. Let's do an ad read really quick, and then let's circle back on another half of why Brandel's comics were stupid. So let me tell you what's not stupid. Anything that you can buy at Primo Golf Apparel. The joggers that they have, I wore some. I'm having the olive ones on right now, and they are phenomenal. They're absolutely phenomenal. They feel great. It's not even super cool outside. It's like kind of uncomfortably muggy outside.
Yeah.
But these things are lightweight, and they feel absolutely fantastic, and they look great too. Use coupon code DADPOD, P-O-D, DADPOD15. Take 15% off literally every single order. They got joggers. They got blade collar polos. They got regular polos, awesome belts, pullovers, hoodies, t-shirts, golf towels. They got everything. They got everything. They're really, really taking over the – I think they're really taking fashion forward with golf, which I really like. Ben wears them. I wear them. Love them. I'm almost exclusively a jogger guy now. Especially like not only just on the course, maybe just like in life. I don't know. It's either going to be a jogger or really close to a jogger. They just feel great. So
have you worn them to church yet?
I wore the, what would be the version of this next step without being a jogger, if that makes sense. Okay. I have not cuffed it at Sunday church. I've cuffed it at Wednesday church.
Okay.
But not Sunday church. So yeah. So I may get there though. But anyway, check them out. Save big. Primo Golf Apparel. All right. So Brandon Chambly makes another comment. Okay. I'm going to read this tweet because this one I can refute 100% because
– such a dumb comment.
Because I was a tour caddy for one
and weekend. He is a former pro, so he should not have made this comment.
Okay. He identified – here's the tweet from Brandon Chambly. He identified the marking of a ball after Reed told him what to look for. What else did he have to go on? ? Semi-fair point. Reed should have – this is where it gets dumb. Reed should have produced for clarification, as any other tour pro would have, a ball from his bag with a similar marking. Okay, here's the problem I have with that. Not all pros mark up every single ball in their bag before the round. And let me tell you why. Because if you hit a provisional – if you hit one that you think is going to require a provisional, you can't have a ball that – you have to have a wildly different ball. When I caddied, when there was – it was the craziest thing ever. I mean, I feel like I got to have a box when I go out to play golf. We had like six balls, okay? There was one marked. There was only one marked. And when it would get scuffed up enough or whatever, he would ask me to put it in like a side pocket. He'd pull out another ball, and he'd mark it. So – mark it, and it was like a wild, crazy mark. I mean, it was like a ton of lines. Like, I didn't even know how you. I know that it was probably really smart, and it helped him because he's an unbelievable putter. So I should have just got his system and introduced it to my game. But Yeah, it was only on the one ball. And then when he would change balls, he would mark it on the next one so that if we got into a situation, and we did have to hit a couple of provisionals, unfortunately, because they had some out of bounds marked a little closer than normal or that used to be marked as a red stake. So you have to hit a provisional just to be safe. And he would pull out the ball that was distinctly different from the one prior. So there's, so this doesn't happen. You could say, right. Hey, the one I teed off with has all the markings on it. This one has no markings on it. It's a red four or whatever. So if you go, if he goes and he finds his ball and they say, oh, wait a minute, that's the one with the red markings, that, I mean, it's easy to pick it apart. So you don't accidentally, you maybe you only have, maybe the only balls you have left are the same number or whatever. Like, so there's got to be some sort of difference. So no, not every single pro has all of their balls marked every single one the exact same way with your distinguished markings because of that exact scenario. So that's why, I mean, how can you make that definitive statement? Like you can,
right.
So every single pro. So if we call Grayson Huff, we call Jacob Solomon, we call, Andrew Kozan, Blaine Barber, we call all our buddies and say, hey, do you mark every single ball in your bag the exact same way? And when you go out, you don't leave any unmarked. You mark them all the exact same way. Randall, you're going to say that every single one of those guys is going to say, yes, you mark every single ball, every single time, exact same way when you go out. Is that what they're going to say? Are you sure? Because that's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. You're saying every single pro does this. And I know for a fact, at least one doesn't. And then if that's the case, then that means there's tons more that don't mark every single ball the exact same way every single time in their bag. They may, when they put it in play, mark it the exact same way, but it doesn't mean if you unzip their bag, every single ball in there is going to be marked the exact same way at that point in time.
No, how many times do we see the pros
breathe?
Because now they've done so much where they've, you know, there's so much coverage where they love to show the introductions off the first tee and that kind of. How many times have we seen the pros like grab the ball from a caddy, like asking for a ball, take out his Sharpie, you know, mark it, and then show it to the other pros and be like, this, you know, this is what I'm playing today. Like they mark it on the tee box to start. They don't sit there and mark all three in the sleeve on the tee box, or they don't sit on the green and on the putting green and mark all nine that they may be carrying that day. For the exact reasons that you just said, you know, for the provisional reason and for, you know, I mean, you're just asking for confusion at that point. You're asking for somebody to cheat at that point. If you're going to let them mark the same way, and then it almost happened with Bryson. When Bryson hit a ball that was in the same two places, even as provisional was, they weren't real sure when they got out there which one was which. Luckily, he did mark them two different ways. So they were able to, he was able to say, this is actually my first one. And so, it's just, you're asking for controversy. And again, I think if this is anybody but Patrick Reed, we're not even delving into this as much as we've done over the last 3 days.
Because it all happened on Saturday. If it was Patrick Reed or another LIV golfer, I don't think we would be talking. If it was not Patrick Reed or any other LIV golfer, I don't think we would be talking about this.
Yeah.
I really don't.
No, I completely agree. I mean, and that's another thing. With the reputation of Patrick Reed and us talking about it with him, that's the same deal with Chamblee. He's known for bashing the LIV guys, so you kind of expect that that's what was coming about from it, because that's been kind of his MO since this has taken place. I see some things that I do agree with, as I said, with the 100% thing, you know, with Brandel, but then I see some things that I definitely agree with you. Plus, at the end of the day, honestly, I understand rules are rules, but he was going to be dropping in the vicinity anyway.
Yeah. And if you took two club links from one tree to the other, I think that it would have been within those two club links. Like, they were that close. Like, yeah, so we're talking about.
They were easily within 10 yards, and it was like an 80-yard shot. He's going to be hitting a lob wedge regardless of where he's hitting it from. He's either going to be hitting it 10 yards shorter or 10 yards further back.
Now, if we want to say there's no way he could have positively identified his ball, then you can't give someone the option with binoculars to look up in a tree that you've pointed him to and say, hey, is that your ball up there? Like, no. Mm. you got to have your hands on it. So if that's the case, then, you know, that's just a bad, it's just a bad rule that needs to be amended, that like if you're going to give somebody the tools to try to figure out if that's their ball, I'm with you. I don't think there's any way that you can positively 100% say your ball's in that tree, but you're going to, I also don't believe that there's no way you can say that he 100% didn't believe that that was his ball in this tree. You know,
if you say put hands on it, there's going to be so many dudes carrying ball retrievers now, so they can be able to reach in and brush and get some. I mean, that's going to be hilarious. If they make it hands on, they're going to be pros with ball retrievers in their bag.
Or there's just going to be some caddies with like rappelling equipment.
Like, listen, we don't need a 2-stroke penalty here. We need to make sure that's my ball. You got to get down there and get it.
Yes.
Goes in the water, you're going swimming. That's what happens there.
Yep. That's exactly. That's exactly what will happen. That'd be hilarious too. All right. So we're going to do a electric would you rather right after this. But first, we got to talk about blue tees, range finders. I'm proud, you know, I'm not going to lie. I had a little bit too much to drink the last round we played. Lost some things. I'm very proud to not lose my rangefinder, because it's like one of my favorite things that I own. And now that I have, hey, Ben, how good am I with the magnet now?
I was about to give you some props. I was like, the thing that was most impressive about that, even after having a few drinks, he still remembered to use the magnet and
I don't throw it in the thing anymore. It's to the side. It's beautiful. I love it. It's got the toggle on and off slope, which I will never toggle it off. I will always have it on because I love it. And the readings are really good. They're easy to read. It locks onto the pin. It buzzes, lets you know it hits the pin. It's got the scan mode. There's everything, all the features of the top dollar ones for a fraction of the price, literally almost like half. If you want to go get like the most expensive one, it's going to be about half that. And it's going to have probably everything, but like maybe barometric pressure. And let's just be honest, none of us even understand that. So get you a blue tees, use coupon code DADBOD, take another 10% off, already big savings, and get out there and have some fun, shoot some pins, shoot better scores, play faster. It's a ton of fun. So blue tees golf, blue tees rangefinders are where rangefinders start and end. That's what they should anyway.
I noticed at the Farmers this past weekend, you know, with it being on the coast, they're real big. And it'll be that way at Pebble this week, too. They're real big into wind.
Yeah.
And I guess I'd never really thought of it like this because, you know, I did tell you, like, with mine, I'm glad it had the scan mode because it got windy with us the other day. So I was actually just having to shoot, like, around the hole so I could get some different yardages so I'd know about where to hit. I noticed, though, you can tell the difference between the smart golfers and maybe the not so smart ones, because they're like, yeah, right now it's out of the north and then it's going to be coming out of the west and then eventually it's going to come out of the south. And then you got the DJs of the world that are like, it's going left or right.
Yeah, just rip it. Play it off wind. Yeah.
And the wind's behind me.
That's information overload. Yeah.
It is.
I just need to know, is it helping? Yes. Is it hurting? That's it. One club, two club. What do you think?
But when they start doing that, they're like, you know, the wind's out of the north and northwest today. I'm like, what are you? Richard Scott, what are you doing the weather?
James Spann, come on. Yeah,
is it coming at you or is it not coming at you? Is it going left to right or right to left? Is it with you or against you?
Yeah, that's all I got to know.
Like, quit with all the directions.
And honestly, if you just say helping, hurting, I got it from there. That's all I'm
like, if I had a caddy that said, the wind's out of the east, what the hell does that mean?
I don't know which way east is, bro. We're walking around like I don't have a North Star. I don't know how to know where this, you know, what's east. And I'll have a compass.
I get it late in the day, you know, the sun's going to set in the west and it rises in the east. So you'll be able to kind of be able to gauge it. But I don't need to do that much thinking, man. I don't need to have to look to where the sun is and go, well, that's west and that's east. And that means that that is south. And that's
screw all that.
That's too much.
Screw all that.
Yeah.
All right. So, first of all, we're going to do our would you rather, but I got to preface this because the whole reason I'm so passionate about this is because I don't like Patrick Reed and I'm mad at people making me defend Patrick Reed because I'm at least I want to be at least fair. You know, we call the guy Fat Prick Reed. I mean, come on.
Yep.
We don't like him and it makes us both mad to have to defend him. So here's our scenario. And I just made this up right before we came on.
I know.
It could be the best one we've ever had. All right. Would you rather be like we are? You don't like Patrick Reed, but everybody thinks you love him. Like you're his biggest fan. You're constantly like, no, I hate it. I hate him. They're like, yeah, right. Yeah, right. You love him. Okay. Or you love Tiger Woods, but everybody viscerally thinks you thinks you hate him. And they're like mad at you for hating Tiger Woods. And you're like, I don't hate Tiger Woods. They're like, yeah, right. We know you hate Tiger Woods. So yeah. would you rather not like Patrick Reed, but everybody thinks you love him, or love Tiger Woods, but everybody thinks you hate him? Which one?
So it's funny when you brought this scenario up. My roommate, and he and I also grew up together ever since fourth grade.
This is a tough one.
I used to always tell him, I said, you just hate him. You just hate Tiger Woods. Because that's who I watched growing up. I mean, Tiger, we're a year apart in age. Or actually, yeah, right at a year apart in age. And so, like, I kind of grew up getting really into golf after high school, about the time he was really good. So it made it easy to love golf. And he would always have to defend it. He's like, I don't hate him. I hate the attention that he gets. I wish they'd show
Which
more
is a
Freddie
stupid
couples.
Take, by the way, for your friend.
I'm not a big fan of that either. But he would, but that was the thing is anytime anything negative got said about Ty, I'm just like, you just hate him. Like, that's your problem. You just hate him.
Yeah.
And I saw how frustrated he gets. Now we're moved to the Patrick Reed thing where I hate Patrick Reed, but if he was constantly chirping in my ear and he was like, you just love it. The only reason you're defending him is because you love him. Like, I heard you and Kyle's pod. That's all you're doing. Like, you guys love him.
And it's so, everybody.
So I don't know. Like, both of them are bad.
They're terrible. This is the worst one ever. This is the worst one ever.
I guess I'll take the P. Reed one. And the reason being is because that's kind of new. Because I got to grow up seeing the Tiger hate and everybody hating him for various reasons. And so for everything from the attention to that's all they ever show him golf. Because it's the best freaking golfer there is out there. That's why they show him.
So you're going to be you're going to be a P. Reed lover.
I'm going to be I'm going to hate P. Reed, but everybody thinks that I love P. Reed. Cause I guess I can just live with myself. Knowing
even
that
P. Reed thinks you love P. Reed,
which would actually be very phenomenal if that took place. Like if I bumped into him and he just was this super nice guy to me. And the whole time I was just like, you son of a bitch.
he's like, hey, everybody come take a picture with me.
Like, yeah,
let me put it on my Instagram and tag you because,
you know, only thing that make it worse is if he like brought up his wife for me to get a family picture with the both of them. Like I would be, if it was his caddy, his brother-in-law, his wife and him, and we were all at Augusta on one of the
and his wife's sister who he tried to date and she turned down. Yeah.
And he took a picture of us. It'd be one of those and shared it on social media. I'd be like, son of a bitch.
He'd like, this is my best friend Ben. He loves me.
He and Kyle were defending me on their podcast. He's so awesome. I love this guy. Yeah, I don't know that I don't want that. I'm gonna go with that instead of the Tiger thing.
Just because you don't want to be known as a Tiger hater.
I also don't want to be known as I don't want to be known as a Patrick Reed lover either.
I know, but you're saying that's what you're choosing, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm choosing. So I'm going to go with – I don't know. I think both of them are evil, so I don't like either choice. So I'm just – that was the first one you threw out, so I'm just going to take it.
I would take the Tiger Woods thing because the scenario is not you have to hate Tiger Woods. It's you can still love him,
mm-hmm.
but everybody thinks you hate him. And, like – the love that I have for Tiger, like the love that I have for Tiger Woods is way greater than the hate that I have. I'm sorry. Hold on. The fear of not loving.
I know what you're trying to say.
You know, I'm trying to say I'm more worried. I would be more worried that people would think I love Patrick Reed than think that I didn't love Tiger because I know how much I love Tiger. So like,
right.
It's kind of like Shallow Hal. You remember Shallow Hal, the movie Shallow mm-hmm. Hal?
Yeah.
When he's like, you know, he sees the big girl, sees Gwyneth Paltrow. She's massive, but he sees her as a beautiful person and everybody else thinks, you know, she's ugly or whatever. That's not completely equivalent. But at the end, he's like, why would you, he goes, would you, if you thought that girl right there looked like the hottest girl that you ever thought, you know, the girl that you think's the hottest in the world and nobody else believed it, who would, you know, would you care? And you're like, he's like, no, because that's the hottest chicken. That he's like, yes, that's how I feel. And then Jason Alexander's like, oh my God, what have I done? So anyway, that's Shallow Hal. It's a great movie. Go see it. That's right. That's how I would feel. I would not care how everybody else saw him the way right. I see Tiger because I loved him. It would be awful if everybody thought I was a Patrick Reed, like, fanatic. Like,
yeah.
I was a super hardcore Patrick Reed fanatic and I didn't like Patrick Reed. I think that would be, that'd be awful. Like, I feel like you lose credibility. I mean, you may lose more credibility being a huge Patrick fan than if people think you dislike Tiger, because there's some people that's like mod cool to dislike Tiger, like your buddy, who's like, oh, he gets too much TV time. I agree. I don't like him either. And then you have to, under breath, you're like, no, oh, I love him. I want to see it.
He could be down at Destin at one of those putt-putt courses trying to hit it through the dinosaur's mouth, and I'm going to watch it if they're filming it. I mean, that's what's going to happen.
I'm just too terrified to be known as a Patrick lover, even though I'm defending Patrick Reed, like, fervently on this podcast.
Yeah, you are
Patrick I still dislike him, so I don't care if that almost makes me want to go back and change my mind so I can hate him, just so nobody thinks I love him. But yeah, I'd still take the Tiger Woods thing because I would still know that I would love Tiger and I don't care. It would make me feel like my love was greater because I'm loving him, when it's real easy to just go along with the crowd and say, yeah, I hate him or whatever. I know I love him and I'm still, you know, but everybody believes it. I don't know. I just don't want to be known. I don't want to be known as a Patrick Reed lover when I despise him.
I think both scenarios just absolutely suck.
They do. Whatever. They do. There's no way. There's really no win. There is no win.
Or go to prison. One of the two.
Go to prison. I'm just going to take that. Our prison.
Yeah, Dad, I was going to say, Dead by Golf Pod prison.
With the Xbox and a putting green. And you can't die.
Or have sex with other men. Whatever. Yeah.
Yep. There you go. All right. On that note, we're going to go ahead and call it a day, and we'll talk to you on Friday. So y'all have a great rest of the week. Hopefully this got you over the hump, and we will chat back on Friday. It's the Pebble Beach. We'll talk about that format of that tournament on Friday. But Pebble Beach Pro-Am, it can be fun. I think it could be funner. It could be more funner. How about that?
I still don't think it's as fun. We'll talk about it Friday. I don't think it's as fun as it used to be.
No, absolutely not. All right, have a great rest of the week. We'll talk back on Friday. Stab by Golf Pod.
Always.
You've been listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod. Always stroking.